Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything indescribable in your life before. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking to myself, what has been some indescribable moments that I've had in my life? And certainly for me, the birth of my two girls was indescribable. And unless you've experienced that yourself, you cannot really describe the emotions involved. I'm looking at new grandparents over here. Just the emotions that are involved in the birth of a newborn. You see this miracle of life that God used you to help make, and you hold it for the first time in your arms, and you can't help but be amazed by what it is that God has done through you. Think about an indescribable moment that you've experienced. Maybe it's on a mountaintop where you've seen a sunrise or a sunset. Maybe it was a boat cruise that you went on, and man, it's just an amazing time spent. But the reality is this: God will allow us to experience indescribable moments in our lives and get a glimpse of eternity through Him. And so what I wanted to embark on over the next two or three midweeks is talking about our indescribable God. Because I think in so many ways, you and I can box God in. We can limit Him by our human experiences, by how it is that we feel, and the current circumstances that we're facing in our lives right now. And our lives can be limited so much down to, for us going back to school, it's, the pressure of facing exams or studies and new classes, new friends. If it's work-related pressures, it's the colleagues and the sales targets and projects that are up and coming. And it's amazing how our lives can become consumed by that which it is that we see. And so that's why I wanted to start 2014 with us looking at just how indescribable our God is. Opening up our eyes, opening up our minds just to the magnitude of this incredible maker and creator that we have an opportunity every single day to connect with. And just what a privilege that is. You know, I know two things about God. One, there is one. And I'm not Him. Most of the problems that you and I face in life are perhaps a distorted view of God.
Yeah.
And so the question I have for you tonight is, what is your view of God? What steps are you taking daily to constantly expand your mind and your view and your perspective of how amazing our Creator is? How big is your God tonight? You know, our view of God has a huge impact on our lives. You know, having a degree in psychology, it's amazing the different theories that folk can come up with. But even psychologists and scientists realize just how much of an impact our fathers, as a father figure, can have on us. And in many respects, how we view God is often how we experience our father or parent or guardian. But the reality is this: irrespective of how you've experienced growing up, we have the Bible to redefine who it is that He is. Everyone has some kind of perception of God. You know, as a teenager growing up, I view God as, you know, the long beard type, the flowing, the big cloth and the staff in His hand. And, you know, I don't know what your view of God is or your perception of it. The atheist, the skeptic, the Christian, we all have views of God. And the truth is, Christians have worked very hard to understand and explain Him. We've got Bible colleges, we've got churches, we've got books that have been written about Him. But the truth is this: we still cannot fathom His greatness. You know, even with all of this, you and I have only begun to scratch the surface of understanding with regards to how amazing He is. Ask yourself this question, or questions. How does a limited mind understand an unlimited God, who is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent? How does a finite temporary being understand an infinite and eternal being? How does that which is a birth and death comprehend that which is no beginning and no end? And yet God has given us opportunity to know. You know, the Bible says the greatness of God is demonstrated in the wonder of His creation. Yeah. Every single thing that we are able to look around and see every single day, right. He's preaching to our hearts. You know, God's purpose for the wonder of creation is to give you and I proof that He exists. You know, one passage of scripture that I love is Romans 1 verse 20. I'm going to read this verse out of the NLT version. It says, from the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God made. They can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. NIV translated as His divine qualities and eternal power have been clearly seen, so that you know what? You and I are without excuse. You know, I love the field of science. And it's amazing to see over the last 10 to 15 years the incredible strides that have been made in archaeology, paleontology, astronomy, microbiology. And it's just amazing what science is now confirming. But you know what? God exists. That there is a higher power, a higher being that is in control of the universe. You know, I was reading, again in preparation for this lesson, I was reading that scientists believe that the universe is now only made up of 95% of matter. The other, 5% of matter. Planets, gases, etc. The other 95% is that which is unseen. Isn't that scary? And they call that dark matter. You know, as we look up at the skies at night, we cannot help but be amazed. You know, I ask you to turn to Psalm chapter 19. Let's read you from verse 1. And this is what King David had to say hundreds of years ago. The heavens tell of the glory of God. The skies display His marvelous craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is silent in the skies, yet their message has gone out to all the earth and their words to all the world. Don't you just love this passage of Scripture? The heavens tell of the glory of God. The NIV says the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim His craftsmanship. And the Bible says that day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display wisdom and knowledge. My question to you tonight is this. When last did you take a step outside, forget about what is going on in your minuscule world, and look up at the stars? Do you know that our closest star is Proxima Centauri? And if you had to get into a spaceship now, it would take you 60 years to get there at our current speeds that our spacecrafts travel at. 60 years. It's 2.5 light years away if you're traveling at the speed of light, but we can't travel at the speed of light yet. But that's our closest star. You know, I was talking with our singles Bible talk last night and talking about just how much God fulfills His promises and the things that He does. And when Abraham came to him and said, you know, Lord, I don't have anybody to inherit my estate except Eliezer from Damascus in Genesis chapter 15. What did God say? Let me take you outside and show you the stars, because that is how numerous, as numerous as the stars in the heavens, so will your descendants be. Can you imagine that? That as a man, I don't even have a descendant, yet through me, God says, a nation is going to be born from me. That is how big and incredible our God is. And that is how majestic and amazing He is. My question is, are you carving out daily time to acknowledge that? Again, Romans chapter 1 says, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave Him thanks. And that's what led to a quickly downward spiral of humankind and mankind. It's because we stopped glorifying God and giving Him thanks for who it is that He is. And so my challenge to us tonight is this. Have a look up at the stars. Take out some time to look at the heavens. And be awe-inspired by what it is that He has made. Have you ever thought about how the earth is perfectly positioned to sustain life? Think about that. We stood on an axis of 22.7 degrees. Okay? Either 0.1 degree either way, and we would spin off into outer space. Yet we sit so perfectly positioned from the sun that we have seasons of rain in Cape Town, okay? In other more civilized places, a bit of cold and, you know, and summer. But I mean, even if you just try and imagine the orchestration of the changing of seasons, how perfectly matched our world is. Yeah, the scientists are still to discover life on other planets. And yes, you've got your ardent believers. Man, there's life out there. But when you look at the complexity of, we talked about the ecosystem on Sunday, and what it is that God has made with the, you know, the soil and the water cycle and just everything that He's made around us, we cannot help but be inspired by what it is that He's made. And that's what we've got to acknowledge. You know, in Genesis 1 verse 16, the Bible says, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night, and that He also made the stars. You know, the reason why God has made such a magnificent universe around us is so that we could get to know Him a whole lot better. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, He says, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. You know, I was looking at some, because I also like to dabble in astronomy, because it really, it inspires my faith. And just some newer discoveries that are happening every single day when they point the Hubble telescope somewhere into the universe and what it is that they see. New discovered galaxy clusters. New discovered planets that are 14 to 40 times the size of Jupiter. And they're sending the scientists back to the drawing board to figure out, you know what, man, this is so much further beyond our comprehension, you know. You know, what is the importance of God's greatness for you and I? Because the truth is this, you and I are faced with trials and hardships and temptations in our lives that seem to overwhelm us. Yeah. You know, in Psalm 55 verses 5 through to 7, you can write this down. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. I'm reading from the New King James or the Old King James Version. And horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. What is the psalmist saying? You know what? Fearfulness has overcome me. Temptations, hardships, trials, challenges that I'm facing right now. Man, what do I want to do? I just want to run away. Have you ever felt like that in life? The problems and challenges that you are facing, man, I just cannot deal with this. You know what? That's a great place to be. Fantastic place to be. Because then you're finally recognizing that you are not God. And that there is a higher power that we need to surrender to and acknowledge. Do you know what? We aren't in control of our lives. Things happen daily that we are not in control of. And our responsibility as Christians is to acknowledge our frailness and acknowledge just how amazing our God is and to trust in Him completely. Often our view of God is brought low by the size of the mountain that we have to face in front of us. I'll be honest with you guys. 2014 has been a very different start for me as opposed to 2013. Many of you know our story. 2013, we came down. It felt like an adventure arriving here on a train, you know, with 12 boxes to take up the one-year challenge and serve the church in Cape Town. And it felt like an adventure for the whole year. And I lived at a pace that in many respects was unsustainable. And so I got to December, and man, I realized just how tired I was. And then the task of going into a new year and just the obligations and responsibilities of new ministries and sermon series and all sorts of different things, man, it felt overwhelming. But you know what has soothed my soul? The fact that God is way bigger than the challenges that I face. He orchestrates the rising and falling of sun, the changing of the season, the ebb and flow of the tides. He determines the very thoughts of 8 billion people as they think. And he orchestrates the circumstances of 8 billion people's lives in real time. Can he take care of my problems? Absolutely. don't know where you felt going into 2014. Maybe you looking at your life and, man, there are certain things that are just overwhelming for me. It might be health-related stuff. It might be some relational stuff. It's so sad to hear. I know Betty's not here, but Dylan is on. Oh, she is. You know, Dylan's on his last legs. 7-year-old. It's just, and tough news comes. I mean, we heard some tragic news. Where's Linda Jacobs? I don't know if she's here today. You know, her brother-in-law was murdered over the weekend. And it's just like, wow, you hear these things that come along. And at times, life can seem insurmountable. The truth is this, when you take the facts of life and you weigh them up to an indescribable and incomprehensible God that we are talking about, they seem insignificant. And that is our obligation and responsibility as Christians, is to say, you know what, God, often I don't understand what is going on around me. It's hard to face the challenges that I'm facing, but you know what? Because you are bigger, all-knowing, all-seeing, and that your thoughts are not my thoughts, as Isaiah described, I can depend on you wholeheartedly. And you know what it's like? It is so relieving, guys. It is so relieving. When we begin to focus on God's greatness, it causes us to realize that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think of Him. You know, I want us to wrap up our class tonight by having a look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm reading again from a different translation, but you know, it's nice to have a different take on different scriptures, ones that we've read often at times. Now, Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 12, this is what the prophet had to say. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Think about that for a second. When last did you stand on Milton or Bloberg Beach or at Strand, Gordon's Bay, and look out at the ocean? God has held those oceans in the palm of His hand. Who has measured off the heavens with His fingers? Just take your finger like that. God has measured off the deep expanses of the sky by His fingers. Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed out the mountains and the hills? 12 months in, I still am astounded by just how majestic Table Mountain is. It's incredible, man. Mighty rock in front of us. It's like dust in God's hands. Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to be His teacher or counselor? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does He need instruction about what is good or what is best? No, for all the nations of the world are nothing in comparison with Him. They are but a drop in the bucket. I did this experiment once. I went and got a drop off the tap and I dropped it into a saucepan. Just to give me a visual image of what the nations are like before God. Dude, in the party of quiet time, take a drop from the tap and drop it into a saucepan. Because that's what the scriptures say. He picks up the islands as though they had no weight at all. All Lebanon's forests do not contain sufficient fuel to consume a sacrifice large enough to honor Him. All Lebanon's sacrificial animals would not make an offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are as nothing to Him. In His eyes they are less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. To whom then can we compare God? What image might we find to resemble Him? Can He be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold, and decorated with silver chains? Or a nice car, a fantastic job, a big house? To whom can we compare God? Or is a poor person's wooden idol better? Can God be compared to an idol that must be placed on a stand so it won't fall down? Have you never heard or understood? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words He gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. Love that passage of scripture. Written 740 years before Jesus was born. And before the flat earth society was established in 1646. And still exists today. I mean, it's ridiculous. Here the Bible is saying that he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. Interesting one there, huh? The people below must seem to him like grasshoppers. He is the one who spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when he blows on them and their work withers. The wind carries them off like straw. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Ask the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out one after another, calling each by its name. And he counts them to see that none are lost or have strayed away. O Israel, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? How can you say God refuses to hear your case? Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youths will become exhausted and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isn't that amazing? I love the fact that God does not grow weary. That he does not get tired. In another place it says he does not slumber. He doesn't need sleep. And that when we are depending on God the way we ought to, he renews our strength. Why? Because we're acknowledging that we're not God. And that we're not acknowledging that he is. And he sustains us. He lifts us up. You know, depending on the greatness of God will fill us with victories and overcoming power to whatever obstacles we're facing in our lives. That's just the reality of who it is that he is. And so tonight I wanted to touch on God's indescribable power. But he's only as powerful as you allow him to be in your life. And so the call for us tonight is, as we head into 2014, is this. Carve out some opportunity to again reflect on how amazing, how magnificent, and how mighty this Creator is. And a question I've got to ask you is, moving into 2014, have you got some spiritual dreams or goals in your life where you would like to see God work in 2014? People make New Year's resolutions all the time. And then come the end of January, they disappoint themselves. Why? Because often they're unrealistic. But with God, when we are looking at our lives and looking at areas of growth, whether it be in our characters, whether it be in our relationships, whether it be in our work-related situations, whether it be with our mental health, our physical health, whatever it might be, when we're putting that before God, he is able to work in a miraculous and powerful way. Because he is bigger and greater and mightier. So what is our obligation as Christians and as disciples today? Is to make sure daily that we are carving our time to constantly expand our minds on what it is that we're reading and how it is that we're praying to acknowledge him for who he is. The second thing is to have a mustard seed of faith to believe that God can accomplish anything and everything in your life. That's who he is. And so I wanted to leave that with you tonight. Is to think about how just indescribable our God truly is. Amen. Why don't we close out on a word of prayer? Huh?